Well, good morning, Liberian. May the peace of Christ be with you. Our scripture today is Luke 21, 25 through 36. It reads, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable: "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Well, the title of today's sermon, Liberian, is Change is Coming. I will admit, I do not think this is a traditional Thanksgiving sermon. I will apologize. I also did not choose the text for this Sunday. This comes from the lectionary. And what I love about our tradition is I don't get the option of opting out when just because I don't like the text. Just because the text doesn't fit a man-made holiday. So today's sermon, A Change is Coming, from Luke 21. And today marks the beginning of a new season. It is the first Sunday of the Advent season. And we do again acknowledge that we long to be together again. We long to be in person with each other again and to experience Advent in the presence of each other, right? Undoubtedly, this may make us more aware of how much we do value each other and how much we value community. A year ago this time, we would not have imagined the first Sunday of Advent 2021 being done from our living rooms, but we are. And I know I speak for Pastor Lena and the session when I say these are hard decisions. As a Seattle Presbytery staff, I interact with many of our congregations, as you know, and then directing the Transformational Learning Grant, I work with other Lilly awardees, endowment awardees nationally, and we regularly strain in making decisions with this magnificent uncertainty we have. And so, with that said, let's just continue to pray for our elders and our staff as they continue to lead and discern rightly. Amen. Well, this being the first day of Advent, let us recall what Advent is. This is where we look back to the historical coming of Jesus Christ in flesh. And it is also when we look forward to Christ's coming again to renew all things. Like me, you may have learned Advent, a word which literally means coming, as a time of waiting, like a kid waits for Christmas gifts. And we practice Advent as a time where we remember what it means to be in waiting and to anticipate. It is this inbreaking of Christ that we are called to not just remember on our journey as a community, the church, but we are asked to sit with a more fundamental aspect of our salvation story. How do we fully live into this salvation story as a present reality? How do we do that? How do we do that faithfully? How do we do that mindful of what Advent teaches us. And how do we do so fully aware that our salvation story is unfolding? Our salvation is here and now. It is already, but it is also coming. It is also not yet. Like the birth of a baby, there is anticipation, but once the baby arrives, the celebration begins. Families celebrate, tears of joy flow freely, and people embrace, for the child is here, right? Advent therefore leads us in the now and the not yet. Christ has come. Christ is coming. We have salvation, and salvation is coming. My hypothesis then for this sermon is this: whenever we fail to hold this relationship of the now and the not yet, when we fail to hold this relationship, choosing to see our salvation journey as something we've done, unable to move on to the not yet, there is a problem, right? Or whenever we experience salvation as only about the future promises that are not based in the here and now or what has come, there's a problem. See, we create a troubling salvation experience when we do not hold the now and the not yet of our salvation. And Advent for us is this opportunity to be mindful of both the now and the not yet. I argue that the church has struggled and is struggling with this today. What does it mean for us to live in the now and already, and also the not yet? What does this call us to in this season of Advent 2021? How does this form us, or possibly reform us, from previous ways of being? And how should the church of 2021 show up differently, mindful of both the now and the not yet? Before I get too far, let me parenthetically add something. See, anticipating the coming of Christ is not simply anticipating the coming of an individual person. The coming of Christ, both historically and prophetically, included all that Christ embodied. Christ's coming is also the coming of justice, righteousness, and peace. It is the fulfillment of all that is love and grace. Christ, in other words, is not empty-handed in his inbreaking into the world with nothing more than a few angels in his posse. At times, this is how Christ's return is portrayed. For Christ to return means the full and complete then revealing of justice, righteousness, and peace. Righteousness and justice have kissed each other, as the Psalms speaks of. It means the promise of renewing all things. Christ's coming, both historically and in the future or to come, was and is about renewal. And without getting all weird, as some evangelicals like to do with such frivolous fictional theology as the Left Behind series, and other portrayals which serve to do nothing more than make money and make converts to Christianity through fear, it is not the destruction of all things that we are anticipating. When we say Christ is coming, we are not looking at the destruction of all things as much as we are the renewal of all things. It is the renewal of all things that we look forward to in Christ's return. And this is important for us reading Luke 21. The writer provides both now and the not yet side by side. In this way, we are able as the listener to compare them. It is not necessary for Jesus to have said them simultaneously. Right? That's not necessarily how it might have historically happened. In fact, it is unlikely that the writer is giving us a word-by-word recording of Jesus's teaching. Instead, it is more likely that the writer is retelling Jesus's sermon and puts these statements side by side for the reader's understanding. See, Luke is writing years after Jerusalem has fallen. He is able to see the distinction between what has already happened and what is yet to come, okay? So let's get into this now, knowing that we're not reading Luke 21 hearing the Left Behind series, and we're not reading Luke 21 with this imagination that Christ's coming is just Christ empty-handed showing up on our doorstep saying, here I am, and there's not righteousness, peace, and joy, and all that is love and grace in that moment. And we're also not talking about Luke 21 aside from this now and not yet perspective, right? Because these statements can run together. And so I want to see if we can disaggregate them long enough to be able to see the distinction between the now and not yet in this text, okay? So the now statement begins with Jesus talking about the destruction of the temple and the eventual destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus was giving them a picture of how they were told not to fear when they would hear about nation rising against nation, or earthquakes and famines or plagues. And when these things happen, the disciples, those listening to Jesus at that time, who would experience this in their generation, would be brought before kings and governors and experience prison and persecution. Jesus said, this is your salvation story. It is happening. Jesus was just the first fruits of that. You will be betrayed, even by family. You see what he's doing? And hated because of my name. Then the destruction of Jerusalem is foretold in verses 20 to 24. Verse 22 says, for these days of vengeance as a fulfillment of all that is written. Speaking of the prophetic of the Old Testament. Verse 23 says, woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress on the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be taken away as captives among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. He's speaking of a time that is now. What is problematic is when we take this historical account and make it a present day kind of prophetic understanding. And that's where we get the weird apocalyptic stories of Left Behind, because we're taking something that was meant for the now of their salvation story, and we make it ours as if this is exactly telling us about what we are going to experience or some experience that is happening after this generation. But so we end up losing then the good news when we do this. Jesus is speaking about a present experience soon to come. And to apply this today, theologian Justo Gonzalez says, is a misreading of the scripture. What follows then is a description of future events related to Jesus's return beginning in verses 25 to 31. It reads, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on earth, not just Jerusalem, on earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Verse 29 says, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. While it may be daunting to read the harshness described by Jesus in these verses, undoubtedly, like you, I always used to read these with this idea that the coming of Jesus was such a violent affair. So why would I anticipate it? And why would I take time to look forward to it? But I ask you to look at this text as defining salvation on two planes. One plane is the disciples being told, this is salvation presently. And secondly, this is what salvation, the second plane, this is what salvation is to come. It is the salvation that is unfolding. One is now and the other is not yet. Is Jesus actually calling to the church then to live in this reality of the now and not yet? Well, I would argue this text says yes. But instead of getting more theological at this point, because if I have not already confused you, then I want to stop now while I'm ahead. And I'm going to get more practical, okay? A church that lives the gospel fully alive will have to be careful not to be overwhelmed with the ugliness and anxieties that come with letting go of the now. To live the gospel fully alive, the church will have to learn how to let go of the now, and that is uncomfortable. Letting go of the now for the not yet. A church that lives the gospel fully alive will need to watch and pray because there are signs of redemption in your communities, in our communities, and great stories of redemption that are happening. Not all change is bad, but it is uncomfortable. And we can be so focused on what we are losing, we don't watch and pray for the way God is showing up in powerful ways. The ways the earth is moving, the sky is shaken, these magnanimous descriptions are descriptions of how God is transforming the world. But if we're stuck on holding the now, then we will fail to watch and pray for the not yet. As I read that churches paid for the defense of those who murdered Ahmaud Arbery and Kyle Rittenhouse, however you feel about that, that churches paid for their defense but made no attempt to care for the widow, the orphan, or the foreigner, I became overwhelmed. What kept me from losing my mind and throwing in the towel in that moment is the reminder to watch and pray, because salvation is always coming. It is always unfolding. And we, during this season, are to be in a place, both individually and corporately as the church, where we watch and pray and anticipate a salvation that is unfolding, a salvation that is coming. We continue to look for the not yet. Well, today and historically, the church has wrestled with this reality of the now and the not yet. Evangelicals and mainline Protestants often see themselves from the perspective of salvation has come and is done, which means we fail to see how salvation is coming. Here is where we need to lift up the valuable lived experience of the unchurched and youth. These are the Gentiles of our day, right? They are not holding a salvation they can't let go of. And there is something to be learned from that. Being overly invested in the now has often left us to defend the gospel, defend Jesus, as if they need defending, and then not to anticipate the not yet. Who needs Advent? We need to defend the gospel and defend Jesus. No, we need to anticipate the not yet. Oftentimes, it's the unchurched and the young among us who reveal the not yet. When Luke writes this, he knows Jerusalem has fallen. Right? He's writing this after the fact, and he includes at the beginning of the sermon how Jesus was watching a widow give all that she had. That was the first few verses. The second is Jesus saying that the disciples were talking about the beauty of the temple. The disciples then hear Jesus start this sermon off by saying, of that beautiful temple, every stone of the temple will fall. And he knows many who followed Jesus didn't want to see the temple fall. They did not want to see that change, and they did not hear that as good news. And Luke writes that Jesus emphasized people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. Well, for Christians today, full of fear of a changing world, like those enamored with the beauty of the temple, they fear what is to come. They fear what it means for righteousness, peace, and justice to show up. They fear what will happen to the ill-gotten lands upon which churches stand today. And as Jesus ends the sermon, Luke includes this metaphor of the fig tree. You can see the signs that the summer is coming, but you are not ready for it. No matter how settled we are in our present salvation, we must not be so settled as to not be ready for what is coming. As Jesus says, my words will not pass away. Salvation is coming. Well, in preparing for this sermon, I read an interesting quote from St. Augustine, a 4th-century North African theologian who prayed this prayer. God, give me chastity, but not just yet. I love that quote, and it's all wrong, but it is what is said of St. Augustine. Well, Justo Gonzalez writes, we too might even pray something similar. God, may your kingdom come, but not just yet. Jesus tells the disciples, when you see the not yet is coming, stand up and lift up your heads, because redemption is coming. Friends, we are invited to be those who see the not yet, not as something to be feared, but as good news. Yes, uprisings. Yes, people will be against people. Yes, even families against family, sister against brother, brother against brother. But we live as those who see the not yet as a beautiful renewal of all things. Change is coming. But we are invited into so much more if we will just watch and pray and make ourselves ready for a salvation that is yet to come. We do not abandon the now, but we hold the now and the not yet in tension. For the gospel being lived fully is this waiting for the not yet. God bless you.